Thank you, choir. Jesus Rally, 6 p.m., January 20th, right here. And there'll be many others joining us, including the New Life Providence Outreach Choir. There's a bunch of them. There'll be enough of them to fill up this place up here. And we're looking forward to a wonderful time. And the word is going to be shared by Lynn Hill, Reverend Lynn Hill. A local minister, evangelist, who was very much a part of the Franklin Graham plans for the festival and all of that. And so be in prayer for that. And if you know somebody that's not regular in church, or they not maybe where they need to be in their walk with the Lord or whatever, would you invite them and bring them? And if you can join us that Friday evening at 7 here, where we'll be praying, just a time of prayer and preparation, we would also invite you to join us for that. And for any of you who are up to it, to even go out that Saturday morning from about 9:30 to noon or something like that and knock on some doors and share with some people. We're looking forward to that very much. And I won't be here, of course, you know, to take care of certain things between now and then. But we're looking forward to a good time, and hopefully it'll all come together. This morning, our reading, our responsive reading, is actually on the same sheet along with our notes. So it's a little shorter than normal, and it's from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. So if you can find that or find that in your Bible, let's stand together in honor of God's Word. I'll read what's in the light print and ask you to read the dark print, and I'll join you on that last verse. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today for Your Holy Word, and we know that indeed Your Holy Word is the manna from heaven. And so we just pray today that You will rain down Your manna, and Lord, that we will be fed by Your Word, and that Your Word will give us what we need in order to function during the week, in order to set our course, in order to properly set our priorities, Lord, in order to properly sort through what is important and what is not as we face a new year, that our lives, not just in some general philosophical sense of having trusted Jesus as Savior, but that our lives on a daily basis as we walk with You and walk in obedience with You would truly be built upon the rock. We live in turbulent times. We live in sands, shifting sands times. And Lord, we need that solid rock. So we pray now, guide us not only in understanding Your Word, but then in following through on it and making these principles the guiding principles of our activities and our decisions and everything for 2008. Thank You that You are Lord, and thank You that You keep Your Word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Here we are on a communion Sunday, and I had to choose something that's, you know, volumes of material. But we're going to try to get through this quickly today. But we are at the beginning of a new year, and it is, you know, it's that time of evaluation. Stores are doing inventory. Gail Clough missed here last Sunday or sometime because they were doing inventory. I used to work for a company where we did that. And also people, you know, do resolutions. I don't do resolutions. Somebody in the church said, I don't do resolutions. I never keep them anyway. But that doesn't mean, you know, it isn't about resolutions, but there is such a thing as saying, okay, there are some things that need to change. And this year is going to be the year that, I don't know if you call that a resolution or not. It's not so much a resolution, but just You know, there are things that need to change, and I need to start today. You got to start sometime, so I need to start today. And a lot of you know I lost some weight here about 4 years ago. And, you know, there came a time I said, something's got to change, and I've had to follow through. You know, I had to say, you know, this isn't a one-time thing and then gain it back. I have to maintain this thing, but I have to start today. I have to start sometime, and then I just got to follow through on that for the rest of my life. And that's the way it is with spiritual things. You know, spiritual laws work. Whatever God's Word says works, and it works for anybody. You know, you don't have to have a certain last name or a certain degree or anything in order for God's Word to work, but we do have to work God's Word in order for it to work. And that's basically what Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. The longest solid block of teaching from the Master that we have in Scripture, and then He closes it out with an application statement. Which is all this is. It's an application statement. He says, if you hear all this stuff and you never do anything about it, then you're going to be just like the guy that built on the sand and everything was fine until the testing came. But once the testing came, that house crashed. But he said, if you hear this stuff and you actually act on it and do something about it. And I think as Christians, probably all of us would admit that at least in some areas, we're further ahead in our understanding and in our theology than we are in our practice. Can I hear an amen? That's the truth. So, you know, any change that happens, well, because we change something we do. Somebody said that one definition of insanity is to keep doing the same things you've always done and expect to get a different result. And that's pretty much true, and it's true in spiritual things as well. So if we want some things to change, the Lord is going to work with us. The Lord wants that change as bad as we want it. He probably wants it worse than we want it. But we've got to work with Him, and the Lord will always keep His end. And that's why He's given us His Word, and that's why we have this, is so we can be not only reading it, learning it, understanding it, being able to explain it or even share it, but most of all, make it the rock foundation, bedrock on which our life is built. And so I hope that it's never been more important, because folks, this world around us is just as squeamish and just as all you hear now, that this stuff with the election and everything, change, change, change. Every single one of them. That's been the theme this week. Change, change, change. Yeah, and there's going to be a whole bunch of changes also that none of them anticipated also. I can guarantee you that from the Word of God. There's all kinds of changes. We don't know what kind of changes we may be facing either personally or nationally in the next 12 months. So if there's ever been a time when we need to be like, you know, on the solid rock, this is the time. So I just thought, what better time than the first of the year to listen again to what Jesus said. So I, as always, I had a few observations here, no better than anybody else's, but just some observations from what I see in the Word of the Lord. Okay, point number one, observation based on what Jesus said. Whatever isn't founded on the rock will fall. Whatever isn't founded on the rock will fall. And that applies to our lives. Whatever is not founded on the rock, and the definition here is the rock is the words of Christ. That is the rock here, or actually doing the words of Christ. That is the rock here. He said, whoever hears my words, and he hears them but doesn't do them, he's the one who built on the sand. And the one who hears them and does them is the one who's built on the rock. So the definition is the rock is the words of Christ, the teachings of Christ, the teachings of God's holy word. This word is to be lived. This word is to be obeyed. And so whatever in our lives isn't founded on the principles and on the truths, the everlasting, unchanging, eternal truths of the Word of God will fall. And all you have to do is look at your own history a little bit and look at some choices you made and some turns you made, and you have to say, hey, I made that decision, and so, hey, you know, and now I'm paying for it, you know, because I didn't pray and I didn't consult the Lord and I wasn't putting the Lord first at that particular time in my life, and that's what pleased me at the time, and so now I'm in this mess, and then you can look around you and see it work out. you know, modern man thinks they can change the rules and avoid the consequences, but they can't. We have easy to get divorced today, but look at all the havoc that it's wreaked in our society. And we could just go down a long list of things like that where we got rid of the words of Christ, the teachings of Christ, and we're just building our old houses just any old way we want to build them. And then all you have to do is just look around and see all the shambles that everybody's life is in. And then people still go to church and hear the Word of God, and then they never really follow through on any of it. And they can even quote parts of the Bible and, oh yeah, I believe and all that. And yet there are glaring inconsistencies in that life. And there is no way, I'm not saying they don't believe at some level, but there's no way that any of us can avoid the consequences if we build on the sand and the tsunami comes. Guess what? It's gonna go down. So everything that isn't built on the rock, everything that isn't founded on the rock, in this case, the teachings of Christ and His Word, it's gonna fall. And the only thing, conversely, of course, that's gonna stand is what? What is built on the Word of God. It may not be the most pleasing at the time. I have a feeling that it's quite a bit harder to dig in the rock and hew out the rock and everything before you get to building your house than it is to just throw it up on the sand. What do you think? I think it's probably a little bit harder, more inconvenient, more time-consuming, more exhausting, more unpleasant at times. It's not even a pleasant thing at times. But the deal is, what kind of house do you want? And once you do build it, do you want your house to stand? So that's why I called this marriage. It's your house. It's your house. There was a story years ago about the rich man who hired a contractor. He said, I want to build a house. Build anything, any way you want. Put any kind of materials you want in it, and gave him a whole block of money. So he was gone for a few months, and the contractor thought, well, my goodness, you know, I may as well cut a few corners here and there and pocket the difference, you know. So he did, and he went the cheapest route he could. And when the boss man got back, he said, well, it's really a nice house, and by the way, it's your house. Here's the key. It's your house. Number two, it isn't founded until it's put into practice. It isn't founded until it's put into practice. That's what Jesus said. Whoever hears these words of mine and doesn't do them. It is not founded. It is not, whatever part of our life it is, it's not on the rock until we are putting it into practice. Are you having that daily prayer time with your spouse? If you have children, do you have a devotional time with them during the week? Are you making an honest effort to share the Lord Jesus Christ with the people that you know? And we could just go on, we're not saved by works, but folks, His words, He's given us commands. And a life where we are walking in obedience and actually doing the stuff He says, when we're doing it, it's going to yield a certain product and it's going to yield a certain reward. And if we ignore it, we can ignore it, but again, we can't avoid the consequences. So when the tests come and the trials come and all that, then, and again, we can see the results of this. I don't know, but I heard that the family where mom and dad pray together every day, attend church together, and sit together, that the divorce rate even today is still only about 5%. But that proves one thing, not many are doing it. And so, that's just one area. I mean, we could go into many, many areas. Are you honoring God with your wealth? And, you know, there's all kinds of other areas we could get into. But the point is, whatever part of the life is, it's not founded. We can't say it's founded on the Lord until we are putting it into practice. When we're putting it into practice, then it's founded. Then it's on the rock. And that's what the Lord promises then. Number three. Every house will undergo times of testing. Every house. Every single house. We have a lot of nice weather around here, and we don't have as bad a weather as some parts of the country. But every house is going to get some windstorms and some hail and some sleet and you know, and maybe a tsunami and who knows what else. We had hurricanes down in the Caribbean. And down there, I tell you what, you build your house of cement blocks, you have to have a steel reinforced column about every 10 or 12 feet, all the way anchored, all the way down in the ground, because they know that the hurricane's going to come, and they know that if it's a shoddily built structure, the hurricane's going to rip the roof off. So they build them like a fortress, and believe me, the hurricane doesn't faze them. Everything may get wet or whatever, but the house is fine. But every house is going to have times of testing. And thank God, you know, we have times. But what form it'll take, we never know, do we? How many here can say, I've had things come along in my life, I had no idea they were going to happen when they did or the way they did. And I think we could probably all say that. So every house will undergo testing, and when the storm is beginning to hit, isn't the time to go out and say, well, I think I'll work on my foundation. I don't think that would work real good. No. The foundation needs to have been put in place years ago. Because we don't know when the storm is going to come. But if the foundation's in place, then we don't have to worry what storm or when, right? Because it's there. And now's the time to start. Number four, the obvious. Building on the rock is wise. It's smart. It's common sense. Yes, it's a little more costly, time-consuming, inconvenient, and all the rest. But it's a smart thing to do, unless you're only thinking of today, or unless you don't care if the house you've built later comes crashing down. So it's smart. It's smart. Building on the rock is the smart thing to do. Number five, building on the sand is foolish. And it's very, very deceptive, you know. You all know about all these houses down on the Outer Banks and stuff. We understand that around here probably better than a lot of people in a lot of other places. We know about erosion. We know about northeasters and all that stuff. Building on the sand is foolish. Number six, foundations must be non-negotiable. They are what we must hold to and stand on. They are what we must hold to and stand on. And Christian, believer, I want to encourage you today, don't compromise your faith. Stand on it. It may not be popular. Somebody may laugh at you or poke a little fun at you. Oh, you really believe all that archaic stuff? Yes, I do. And I'm going to hold to it. It's time tested, folks. It is time tested. And it will stand the test. I'm going to stand on it, and I'm going to hold to it, and I'm not going to compromise my principles because it's no longer popular or fashionable to live, you know, a moral lifestyle, and on and on and on. No. Foundations are non-negotiable. What goes into the rest of the house, what color carpet, windows, and what floor plan and all that stuff is probably negotiable in some way or at some point. But the foundation is not negotiable because the foundation is what the whole house stands on. And if the foundation isn't good, then I stand to lose the whole house, no matter what the floor plan or the carpet color or the windows. That's non-negotiable. And if there's ever been a time when I would say to Christians, foundations are non-negotiable. The Word of God, the foundational things of the Word of God are non-negotiable. I mean, that just needs to be. And if you haven't shored that part of your life up, and I see some young people back here today, I mean, get that stuff solid, because it's the only thing that's going to get you through life, and it's the only thing that's going to stand. Because the stuff of this world will not pull you through when you start encountering the difficulties of life. God's Word will. Number seven, foundations are the one permanent thing. Foundations are the one permanent thing. The structure gets its strength and stability from the foundation. You can take the exact same house, built exactly the same way in every detail, and if it's on an unmovable foundation, that house is unmovable. You take that same exact house and put it down on the beach, and it will come crashing down. The only thing that is stable, timeless. I see these pictures of these lighthouses up in New England and other places, out on a rocky crag, and day after day after day, the waves are beating and churning, and the salt spray is going high in the air, and some of those have been there now, and hurricanes come and everything, and some of them have been there now for what? 100, 150, 200 years, and they're just as strong and unfazed as they were the day they were put there. The foundation is the one permanent thing. Everything else may crumble and fail. Do you ever feel like that in your life? Everything's crumbling around you. Everything else may crumble and fail, but the proper foundation will remain firm and secure. That's basically what Job did. Job said, I don't know. I don't know, understand why I've lost everything. I don't know why my health is bad and I'm on the point of death. But though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Bless his holy name. And he just held. And that was a strong one. But when it was over, when it was over, Job emerged stronger, had a better understanding of the Lord than he had before. And the Lord gave him, I think it was like twice as much as he had before. Everything else around you may crumble, but the foundation won't. Number eight, each new year is another period of building. So we're building all the time, whether we think so or not. The choices we make, the decisions we make every day, they mean the building just goes on. The building's going on until the day the Lord takes us home. So the building's just going on, you know. And Jesus said, be careful what foundation. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, be careful what you build even on the right foundation. Because if you have the right foundation and you build a shoddy house on it, you're still going to have a shoddy house. But if you build a pretty good house on the wrong foundation, you stand to lose the whole thing. But each new year is a new period of building. What are we going to build this year in our home? What are we going to build this year in our personal life and walk with the Lord? What are we going to build this year in the church setting and in the, you know, ministry or whatever the Lord gives us to do around here or calls us to do around here and so forth. So this is a time of building, and let's just make sure we're on that rock every step of the way. Number nine, only those who truly have Jesus Christ and His Word as their foundation and are building on it. I mean, if you have the right foundation, but you don't build anything on it, you still don't have a house. Only those who truly have Jesus Christ and His Word as their foundation and are building on it will emerge from the new year victorious, strong, and secure. So while I cannot tell you today what will happen this year, what things you will encounter, what challenges, temptations, setbacks, or maybe even tragedies in your life or in your home or in your community, I can't tell you those things. But I can tell you that if you have Jesus Christ and His Word as your foundation and you are walking in it and you are building on it, then whatever you encounter this year, you may suffer great losses. I don't know. I may. We don't know. But we'll emerge at the end of the year joyous, victorious, triumphant, strong, and secure because we obeyed the word of the Lord and we made His Word our foundation. And then number 10, it's your house. You can't build my house, and I can't build your house. It's your house, whatever it is. When it's done, it's your house. And every single day, we're building on it. So folks, we're in the year 2008. And so today's a good start. We're in the house of the Lord. We're hearing the word of the Lord. Let's keep doing that. But let's not just hear it. And let's just be, you know, and I may follow up on some of this later on. But, you know, do I have my prayer list intact? You know, am I working my prayer list? You know, am I doing these things that the Lord would have me do? Am I walking in obedience to His word? Because that is how we will grow. And that is how we will see the Lord Jesus. And that is how we will remain basically stable and unscathed even in all the turbulence of life. And let me tell you something. You do this, you may find some people coming to you and beginning to bend your ear. Because they don't know, they don't believe exactly as you do, they don't even understand all you believe, but they see a stability in you. Has that already happened to some of you, maybe? Because people are looking for somebody that, you know, kind of stable, and you may have an opportunity then to see them come into a personal relationship with Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We want our lives to be a witness for Him, and we want our lives to be a witness to His work of grace in us. And we want our lives to be a witness to the foundation, not to the house itself. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that You have given us the foundation. It's not our own foundation. It's not a foundation we could have provided. You have given us the foundation through Your word. And now that we have it, it's our job to build on it. And You said that the way that we build on it is by hearing Your word and then going out and obeying it and putting it into practice. So, Lord, whether it's our children down in the Sunday school or the children's church or in Awana or our young people in the youth group or us older adults in our Sunday school classes or other parts of the church here, Lord, I just pray that this year, Lord, that we will be able to take whatever You're sharing with us of Your word in our Bible studies, in our personal devotions, in the sermons, all the different ways that You minister Your word to us this year, that we'll be able to take them and, if not all of them, at least take a few and say, now this year, these are going to be put into practice. Or even if it's one thing, this year, this is going to be put into practice. This is going to be done because I know the Lord's been speaking to me about this, and so I need to do this. And that this will be the year that we'll begin to build on a solid foundation as we begin to actually practically obey Your word in a number of key areas. Of course, the first act of obedience is to forsake our sinful ways and turn to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So if there are any here who have not taken that step, Lord, would You bring them to that realization and to that readiness today? And for the rest of us, that we would not be hearers only, deceiving ourselves, but that we would be doers of Your word. And You say that those who are doers of Your word will be blessed in all we do. We thank You now. Prepare our hearts now for the communion, that as we partake of that, we would understand the meaning, because that foundation has a whole lot to do with what Jesus did on the cross, that had He not offered Himself there, we wouldn't have any foundation to talk about. So, Lord, thank You. Guide us now in this time of worship, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.